Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. I'm Andrew Aubrey.
And I'm Tracy Moxie. Through insightful discussions and practical strategies, get ready to unlock the tools you need to thrive and make your unique mark on the world.
In this episode, we'll be discussing how my skeptic drive contrasts with two of Tracy's drives, initiator and navigator.
So I'm going to share with you the initiator drive, which is very dominant for me. The initiator drive is a very fast drive. Initiators will walk fast, talk fast, eat fast, and even sleep fast. So it is a very high energy, fast drive. Some words that describe initiator are promoter, motivator, starter, cheerleader, launcher, and activist. The need for this drive is a need for ideas or initiatives and to activate them, and also the need to get others to move, engage, or respond. The need to be involved at the very start of something. So hence the word initiator, the beginning. So I don't have to be involved at the end of something, but initiator definitely at the beginning. So I'm just going to give you a lovely description of the initiator drive. As an initiator, you're a natural starter. You may need to be part of initiatives, startups, and launches of ideas and projects. You may often have some special cause that you love to promote and inspire others towards. More than activating yourself, you may feel an urgency to activate others and inspire them toward action. You may live by the mission, when can we start, and prefer to get going quickly and figure things out along the way. You tend to have an urgency to get things going and where others need to be involved. They will feel this urgency from you and respond with action. You will tend to inject a huge amount of energy into generating enough momentum to get an idea or project off the ground. However, you may find that once you've done this, you have little energy to follow it through and may prefer to hand it over to others at this point. Initiators are action-orientated, fast-moving, energetic, and inspirational. They thrive in conditions where they have the opportunity to direct their energy and urgency towards activating others and being part of the action or movements themselves. So from that description, you've picked up there the urgency, the high energy, the need to get others moving and getting going into doing something. And this drive, when it is mismanaged, it is impulsive. They will speak before they even have thought, because the initiator, remember, is an accomplishing drive. It's not a thinking drive. It's an action. Let's go. Let's do it. So we will often do things and not think them through. And I'm speaking for myself, yes. And then we kind of leave others behind because we haven't communicated. We can be a bit impatient when this drive is not mastered. So think about if any of this is resonating with you, if you think you may have initiated tendencies, and what resonates with you and where you are at with this kind of energy. And then once this drive is mastered, this is what it looks like. It initiates and accelerates the transformation of ideas and decisions into action by generating momentum through others. It values patience and timing, and knows when to accelerate and when to slow down. And just speaking for myself, I'm very much that energy. Let's go, let's get this done, and we will figure it out along the way. We just need to get going. It's that initial energy. Yo, this is a great idea. Let's get it going. So that's the initiator drive in a nutshell.
Thank you, Tracy. So I think it's important to know that Tracy has other strong drives that'll have a strong dynamic effect on how her initiated drive plays out for her. I'm a natural skeptic and I have a dominant skeptic energy. So skeptic contrasts with initiator because initiators want to move fast and figure things out as they go, whereas skeptics want to stop, gather the facts, and think things through carefully before proceeding slowly and cautiously. I want to use analogy that I think could be really helpful in helping you better understand what the initiator energy is like. When an airplane takes off, it needs incredible amount of energy to get that aircraft moving and to accelerate that aircraft to its takeoff speed and then get it up into the air until it reaches a certain altitude, at which stage, often if you're flying, you would notice that there's seems to be a tap back in the engines, and the plane by that time has used a good percentage of its fuel on board to be able to get the plane in the air. So the other aspect of using the airplane analogy that I think would be really good to understand when we're using this idea of a contrast between the initiator energy and the skeptic energy is when somebody goes and flies on an airplane on a commercial flight, it's not like everyone just climbs aboard the airplane, start the engines, and off we go. Before every single commercial flight and every single flight, there is a vast process of planning, logistics, calculations, and time needed to do pre-flight checks. And then once the airplane is fully loaded and everything has been calculated, then the airplane can begin the pushback and get ready to take off. And that might give you a little bit of a clue into how those two energies play out. So Tracy, I have a couple of questions and I'm very interested to hear how you resonate with these questions. What does that urgency to start things and to execute feel like? And that tension inside to want to get a decision executed or an idea going?
I think that was a lovely example of that great amount of energy and fuel used to get that plane in the sky. And that's exactly what it feels like. So for me, because it's not something you're thinking, you definitely feel, or at least I do, it's not a thinking drive. But for me, it's definitely a form of excitement. And it's not even so much linked to the idea, because the initiator doesn't have to come up with the idea. They just get this idea. It sounds good to them and they want to get it into action. So that excitement, that high capacity of energy to get this going, it's definitely a feeling within me, like I'm always in like running action. And I've definitely had to master this drive, because as we said, that when it's a bit mismanaged, we're too quick. And I've worked with another skeptic when we've been working with the horses, and there'll be some change on the day. And I've already like, right, let's go and do that. And she's had to say to me, Tracy, just hold on. Let's just think about that horse can go there. That, and I'm already like running to get the horse that I think is going to fit in. So definitely take a step back sometimes and just breathe. But it is that excitement of getting going. It's just like, right, let's go. Let's get this. Let's sort it out. Does that make sense, Andrew?
That does make sense. So I think it's also important to understand that this is not just the energy needed to get yourself going. It's the energy to get others going as well, to get things activated, to get projects started. It's important to remember that.
Andrew, I once did a training, like a team building with people I did not know. So I arrived at this venue and we got put into groups and we had to herd cattle through a chute. Okay. And there was about four or five of us in this group. And some of the people were actually afraid of getting too close to the cows, which I got. But my energy of we need to get this done, come on, let's go. I just immediately went into action and I started herding the cows and wanting to get it done. And I wasn't getting any buy-in from the others. And this could have been managed much better from my side, but it needed to be done. And if nobody else was going to do it, I couldn't create that because they were nervous. I got the cows into the chute, but afterwards, the feedback I got was that I was being a bit bossy and obviously not communicating properly. So that was a lesson for me. And how do you get people to be more involved in doing something where there's fear, where they could be kicked?
You have another dominant drive that plays strongly to patience. So I'm interested to hear your perspective on what your relationship is towards this drive's tendency to be impatient.
We're speaking about my initiator drive.
Yes.
For me, Andrew, I've got to think about what I am doing. If it is something that just involves me, if it's my own business or what I've got to do for myself, it's very different. I can just go it. I'm not having to communicate with anybody. There's definitely things that I've changed where I would just run and launch into something. I'm definitely now thinking a little bit, is this a good idea? Should I put some more thought behind it? When I'm working with other people, I can still have that energy, but it definitely pays dividends to get input from the other parties. Someone like yourself, that skeptic, to give me a bit more information before I'm running, before I'm already on the track. And maybe I don't even know if I'm on the right race kind of thing. When you work with people, definitely is to just take that breath, keep that energy, harness that energy, but maybe that energy can be even more productive when you're working with other people.
So I think the point you're raising there is very important to remember when we are discussing any drive. This is about how to manage your drive energy well in a situation or a context. And what you're saying makes a lot of sense as well. So often when we're working with other people, maybe the component around managing it is complicated by other people. And we've got to be aware of how our natural tendencies might be received by the people around us. This idea of figuring things out on the way, would you like to explain that a bit more?
Because we have this high energy to get going, I don't think about any obstacles. It's just the need to get going. And with that, I think comes a lot of confidence. And in your mind, I will figure it out along the way. I will just make a plan. In saying that, you will be able to get an answer, you will be able to do it, but can you have done it the very best way? Because I think taking that moment just to reflect, I wouldn't lose that energy. But just taking a moment or two to just think it through and get some input, you would keep that energy.
So I'm interested coming back to that energy. You said that you can relate to a very high energy, like a sense of excitement. You can feel that energy in you to get things going. Can you
Yes.
feel the drop in energy? Or are there signs that show maybe that your energy or your initial excitement sort of wanes?
I think that is true for this drive, but I'm thinking that there's definitely other input for me because I remember someone saying to me that you will start things, but you won't finish them. I started a podcast, my own podcast, and I'm on episode number 122. So for me, that hasn't been the case, but I've got other drives that influence that. But I think true to this drive, just initiator, the energy would lower.
I want to read a statement to you, and I'm interested to hear first if you've learned anything from this or if you resonate with this. And if not, then that's fine, then we can move on. So the statement goes as follows. If you are constantly accelerating things faster than they need to go, then what happens is your acceleration becomes forced. And of course, according to the laws of physics, with every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. For every force I exert, there's another force coming back at me, which is also known as resistance. When you try to push things faster because you have a need for things to go faster rather than this was needed, then what happens is that you can create resistance. And sometimes you'll find that with this particular energy, you may need to learn to Be tuned into timing and realize the importance of timing. When is it important? And if the need is to accelerate something, then by all means. But if you are accelerating all the time, you are creating resistance, and that is wasted energy. Do you resonate to that statement?
I really do resonate with and agree with it, because and again, it's about this timing. Is yes, the energy comes naturally and is there, but I think timing, and again, I'm going to come back to that, if it's just concerns me, that when I can start something and do it, it's very different to when working with people. So can I share another example with you? And it just fascinates me when I look back on how I did things and why I did them and why I was successful. I worked for Barloworld. They brought me in to run their hire desk. Barloworld had never hired out small plots, and the company that they bought, which I worked for, Flamingo Plant Hire, we were expert at hiring out compressors and all the equipment that went with that. So they said, come in and please set up and run the whole hire desk, which I did on my own. I checked in plants, managed the operators, the equipment was checked in. I had a big board in my office with everything listed and where every plant and operator was. I started that whole thing and I had to function every day. But it was a job, Andrew, where, as I said, got high energy. So I was never sitting. Okay. It was not a desk job. It was a running to check the plant, running to see the operator, making sure it's all this plant's coming back, checking in plant, checking out plant. And I got that all up and running and I got it running smoothly. So huge amounts of energy in starting that up for them and getting it to run. And I never felt drained. I was on my feet all day running around. So that fed me. The resistance came, Andrew, if you want to talk about resistance, because it was a corporate company, they make their own resistance with their red tape. When the plant is sitting, this plant that costs millions of rands is sitting costing money because of the red tape. That was very frustrating for me. And that definitely would affect my energy and my enthusiasm to get this done. We're going to now unpack the navigator drive, which is one of my dominant drives. I love all my drives. Okay, so the navigator drive is a thinking drive, and the skeptic is also a thinking drive. So that's why we're showing you the contrast of these two. The needs of the navigator. I need the authority and freedom to make decisions on the go. I need fast-changing projects that demand quick thinking. I need reactive support when navigating various options. I decide, but others execute. So the navigator, once again, is another fast drive. Some words that describe navigator: change, decisions, agility, navigate, options, proactive. The description of this drive: as a navigator, you may thrive in dynamically changing environments and may often initiate change yourself. You may enjoy challenging situations that draw on your ability to instinctively evaluate lots of options quickly and make fast decisions on the best route forward. Wherever there is a need for quick decision-making without the time for discussions or meetings, you are the right person. Navigators think fast, decide fast, and act fast. You may have a knack for simplifying complexity and naturally prioritize on the go. You are proactive and are always looking ahead to anticipate potential obstacles in your path, then quick to change direction to outmaneuver those obstacles. This fast maneuvering may sometimes cause you to leave others behind if you don't take them with you in your thinking process. You likely think on your feet and are comfortable with change, provided it doesn't block you from getting to your destination. Navigators thrive in conditions where they have a clear mandate and are trusted to make decisions on their own and then act on them immediately. So, navigator thinking ahead, agile. And literally, when they say think on your feet, this really is, we can make decisions then and there. We can outmaneuver. And there, that word agility really plays in this drive. So it's a very fast thinking drive. Because it's such a fast thinking drive, we can often leave people behind. So when this drive is mismanaged, we can leave others behind because we're so far ahead. We've already thought three or four steps ahead. So we have to learn to communicate. When this drive is mismanaged, it is because of communication. Other drives cannot even comprehend the speed with which we have already thought the next three moves. So communication is key for this drive. And then what this drive looks like when it's mastered, it proactively anticipates obstacles and challenges, then quickly gathers relevant information to inform and generate options, then selects the best routes and changes direction fast to outmaneuver the obstacles and navigate the way forward, effectively communicating the reasoning behind the changes to those whom they are leading. So for a navigator, the fastness of this drive, the capacity to which we can quickly change direction, change our way, others' heads are spinning. And this is where communication, this is where we need to breathe and say, this has come up. This is why we now are going to move in this direction. And this is how we're going to move in this direction. So communication is very important because if not, we can be way too fast and impatient.
Tracy, so where the skeptic contrasts with a navigator is that navigators are comfortable making fast decisions that bear high consequences, whereas skeptics need time to gather the facts, analyze, and think things through carefully. And sometimes what you'll find is that a navigator and a skeptic might miss each other in this situation. When you ask a navigator a question, and before me, the skeptic, has finished the sentence, sometimes they've given me an answer, me as a skeptic will tend to think that person's not even thought about what I've just said. They've just given me the first thing that came out of their mouth. This is not always true. With a navigator, they think so fast, they literally do have an answer. For a skeptic, though, it may feel that it's not even possible. And this is because you are thinking like a skeptic. It is so interesting to understand the decision-making styles between these two. So the navigator is dynamic navigation. It is very similar to the Waze app, where you punch in a destination and the app picks up where your current location is. And then as you're traveling, the app is dynamically scanning ahead all the time for potential obstacles. And should an obstacle appear, it changes course and adjustment to that exact same destination. And why this drive is so fast is that it needs to navigate around the obstacles that they see. Whereas the skeptic has far more need for time to be able to think things through, to analyze the risk that they might see, and to come up with a decision that they feel they've given due diligence to. And that potentially highlights the difference between the two ways of making decisions.
I'll give you another little example of having this navigator drive and how it plays out for me. Because I went to do a talk last year, which I had prepared all on PowerPoints, and I got to the venue and it would not work. They were having issues with their tech stuff. So I had to do the presentation, just me speaking, no PowerPoint presentation. And this drive enables me to think on my feet and say to myself, I'm prepared, I know what I'm going to say. Maybe it's not going to be to the actual point of every point I had on the presentation, but my thinking is nobody knows what I was going to say. I'm just going to give the presentation. And it actually ended up being such an amazing presentation because I wasn't presenting it on PowerPoint. It was much more interactive. I interacted with the audience. I asked for feedback. I asked questions. So that's the navigator, that agility, being able to navigate, to be proactive, to change. It gives a lot of confidence.
Very interesting, Tracy. I was just thinking about that example that you've just used and how I would respond in that situation. And I think as long as I had my content prepared and I was well prepared, I could adjust to that problem. But the difference will be not as fast as you do it. And it's quite an interesting thing I would like to discuss with you in terms of how you see these two things, is that sometimes I find myself in situations where I'm around people who think fast, speak fast, act fast, and I get encouraged by that speed, and I find myself wanting to align with that. But so often when that happens, it's all going along well, and then there comes a situation where it requires me to think about something or to be able to verbalize or articulate something. And that's where that handbrake might go up a little bit in terms of what I need in this particular situation. I'm feeling like might be losing control here a bit. And sometimes it's just recognizing that I'm trying to speak too fast and slowing down and adapting so that my mind and what I'm trying to say is in sync.
From my perspective, I have had to learn through coaching and being with my clients, I've got to learn to actually tone down my energy sometimes. So that's very interesting that you upping your energy and coming out of your comfort zone and moving a bit faster. I think the more we pay attention to the people we are around and watch their body language and maybe ask more questions and actually take note of what's happening around us, sort of be more present. I think that can be a huge benefit to everybody too. And remember, not everyone is at a place where they can do what you want to do and they need it to be slower. Otherwise, their brain is absolutely being overwhelmed and they're not going to be taking in information. So it's meeting people where they're at once again. Sometimes we need to be fast and sometimes we need to slow down because all different things are happening around us. This navigator drive plays to high pressure situations where something's come up and we need to navigate our way through it. We don't have to lead our whole life like this. And this is what I've had to learn. You can slow down. You can listen. You can get more information. And maybe somebody else can take the lead. I don't always have to take the lead.
Interesting in listening to you talk there. I think the thing that came through, and we've already said this, and describing how these two drives contrast, is there might be situations where, as with a strong skeptic energy, the need to slow down and put the brakes on is when me with that particular drive considers the consequences are going to cost something or it needs more time around due diligence. And that's where typically the skeptic way of thinking is to slow things down and to make sure that we are analyzing, we're doing the due diligence to what it could potentially cost and where the risks and how do we mitigate that. And once that's all been resolved and sorted out, then we can move forward again. And I think to the point around communication, there are going to be times in life where you need somebody to make the call very fast because of a situation that's playing out. And that's where your navigators really play strongly. You want somebody to make the call. And the point is to get around the obstacle that we see coming. But at other times, we've considered the facts, we've done due diligence, we've looked at what risk is involved, and we've had a discussion, and then we can move forward with confidence again, but for confidence because we've actually spent the time working out what the cost of the whole thing's going to be.
Beautifully said, Andrew. And that word communication, especially when we are in the team environment, where knowing our drives and understanding how we think, right? These are both thinking drives, the navigator and the skeptic, how we think. And when you know how your team members think, and as you understanding your way of thinking and the reason you think your way, it's given you confidence. And with that confidence, you will be able to step up to the navigator and say, this is what I'm thinking. This is where I'm coming from. And give the navigator more information. And that navigator to actually slow down and go, right, let's listen to this and think this through a bit more. I think that's where the power of these dynamics come into play, that you are going to definitely think of things that the navigator hasn't even had time to think about because they're so far already into making their decisions. But these drives enable us to identify with ourselves, give us the confidence to share the way we do things. And it can only make teams stronger, and therefore much better decisions are going to be made ultimately.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you for this time again today, and really hope that this has been valuable and better understanding how these two drives, initiator and navigator, might contrast with the skeptic, and also the value that these drives bring in different contexts or situations. So we hope you have enjoyed this time with us, and thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Engagement Fit Drive podcast.
We hope you found invaluable insights that will empower you on your path to self-discovery and fulfillment.
Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with anyone who's ready to unlock their full potential.
Until next time, keep engaging, keep thriving, and keep driving towards a life filled with purpose.